wanted to make a quick announcement. We will be having a church safety team meeting next Sunday at 4 o'clock. That was to be today at 4, but it is moved to next Sunday. Next Sunday at 4 o'clock. So those who are part of the safety team, remember that. And any questions you may have, you can see the deacons. All right, Genesis chapter number 25 this morning. Genesis chapter number 25. Genesis chapter number 25. To read some verses here, starting in verse number 19 down through verse number 26, just after we pray. Genesis 25, verse number 19, just after we pray. Father, we come in no other name but Jesus' name. My prayer today is that if there's someone here who has not had their sins washed away, that You would show them that they need that in order to go to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness. There's nothing we can do. There's not enough charities we can give to earn a spot at your table in heaven. But God, help everyone understand that it's all about what you have done. Dying upon the tree, the cross, shedding your innocent blood for the unrighteous. And the moment we realize that we are unrighteous and you are righteous and we accept that, you're our card to heaven. And Lord, when God the Father sees us, he sees God the Son in his righteousness and not our own. I also pray in the next few moments that you would use me to be your mouthpiece. Lord, help me say the things that would only please you, and we will give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Genesis, chapter number 25. Notice, if you would, in verse number 19. Genesis 25 and verse number 19. The Bible says, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padanaram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. She said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. When her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Twins. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them." I want to stop there in verse number 26. That's reading Genesis 25, verse number 19, down through verse number 26. We have in this portion of Scripture the birth of the boys. The birth of the boys. It seems as the past month, since the past month, within a month, on Wednesday nights, we have talked about brothers. We talked about course, John and James, the sons of Zebedee, and now we're getting into Aaron and Moses on Wednesday nights. Well, here we have another birth of two boys, brothers, and these two boys are Esau and Jacob. Abraham, which was the father of Isaac, Abraham was promised a special seed, Isaac. And then Isaac was promised a special seed, Jacob. But this delivery of this promise, the special seed, this purpose even, was much different from Abraham's and Sarah's delivery of the promise, Isaac. And when I say promise, I'm sure everyone knows, at least the majority does, that it was promised that through the seed of Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed and eventually the Lord Jesus would come. And so Abraham was promised this seed, special seed, this purpose in life that was Isaac. Then Isaac was promised a special seed, a purpose in life, and that was to bear Jacob. And again, the delivery of this promise was two totally different occasions from Abraham and Sarah in delivering Isaac as it was to Jacob and Rebecca, or Isaac and Rebecca. When it came to Abraham and Sarah, the delivery had to do with Sarah being up in age. Abraham was up in age, and that was their predicament. Abraham was up in age, in his 90s, and Sarah was as well. In fact, Sarah laughed at the very idea of this promise being fulfilled, this purpose being fulfilled. So that was their birth scene. They were in their 90s. And now we have Isaac here and Rebekah. And their situation by which the promised seed would come, by which their purpose would come, Jacob, had its particular situation. She had no idea that she had twins in her womb. And I want to say this morning, here early in the introduction, that God has unique plans and purposes for all of us. He had a unique plan and a unique purpose for Abraham and the promise of Isaac. He had a unique plan and he had a unique purpose for Isaac and Rebekah to bring forth Jacob. And we know by these verses we just read that it involved not only one child, but two children. And there was a struggle within her womb. God has a purpose and God has a plan for every one of us this morning. But the way that he brings his plan to fruition, the way that he works out his purposes are different in all of our lives. We have Abraham here and Sarah. They were in their 90s. We have Isaac and Rebekah and they were twins. And then we even go on down the lineage there. And we have the birth of Joseph and of course, all of his brothers. They were the heads of the 12 tribes. And so there was a different situation for every purpose, for every family, by which God brought his plan to fruition. And again, this morning, God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. He has a purpose for us. He has promised in his word that he will be with us and he will guide us and that he will lead us and he wants to use us. And so this morning, I want to look at these verses and just try to glean some things about the unique plans of God. Again, we're looking at Isaac and we're looking at Rebekah. And there was the birth of the boys here, Esau and Jacob. And so what can we glean from this situation and how can we apply it to our life today as New Testament Christianity? Number one, I want you to notice in verse 21 that we see Isaac's interceding. Isaac's interceding. Verse number 21, the Bible says, "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived." The word entreated here It literally means to intercede. And we have the occasion where Isaac literally prayed and he wanted this seed to come to pass. He entreated the Lord. He interceded for his wife. Isaac stood in the gap between God and his wife. He loved his wife. He wanted the best for his wife. But nonetheless, he did intercede for his wife. He knew that there was a promised seed in the equation. He knew it was through that seed that eventually the Lord Jesus would come. And we see in verse number 21 that Isaac interceded. He entreated the Lord. And notice, the Bible says, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And so we have Isaac's interceding. Isaac, he interceded for Rebekah. And the Bible said that God answered that prayer. God allowed her to conceive. And now here's the two boys in the birth scene. But I want you to notice something in verse number 20. In verse number 20, the Bible says, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife. And so when they got married, Isaac and Rebekah, he was 40 years old. Now look down, if you would, in verse number 26. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and here it is, and Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. They got married when he was 40. The kids came when he was 60. And we have a 20-year time frame where nothing happened in their marriage. For 20 years, there was no seed that came. For 20 years, as much as we can glean from the scriptures, the Lord was not entreated. And so we see here that 20 years passed by of things as usual, things as normal. And the question is, why did God wait 20 years to bring this promise to pass? Why was it that there was no mention of this within that 20 years? Why was it was just business as usual and there was no entreating of the Lord? At least we don't have no account of that until 20 years into the marriage. And so finally, Isaac, he entreated the Lord for his wife. And no doubt she was barren and she was sad. And it was disgraceful as a woman to be barren. And there's this promise lingering over their head. Oh, you're the chosen one. You have this purpose in life. But nothing's happening. Why in the world 20 years would pass by with no seed and no indication that Isaac even cared or Rebekah until now? As we look at this story, I believe there's indication here that possibly Isaac felt entitled to this promise. There's nothing that I have to do with this promise. It's going to come. There's nothing that I have to say about this purpose in life. There's no responsibility in my marriage with this purpose about this seed coming by which one day Jesus would come. All I have to do is wait for it. I mean, there's no accountability with this purpose. There's no accountability with this promise. Listen, there is no indication at all that they were concerned until 20 years in the marriage about this promise. And this is my point I'm trying to make. I believe that eventually Isaac wanted what God wanted. He was entitled. He knew that he was the next in line. He knew that God was going to use him. But maybe he got passive about it. Maybe he felt entitled to it. Well, my daddy was Abraham, and I'm Isaac. And one day God's going to use me and my wife to be a blessing. And so time rolled on, and time carried on. 5 years into the marriage, nothing happening. 10 years into the marriage, nothing happening. 15 years into the marriage, nothing happening. But something happened at 20 years in that marriage. And what happened was Rebekah was uncomfortable. Rebekah was sad. Rebekah wanted that seed. Rebecca wanted. And because Rebecca wanted, Isaac wanted. Listen, none of us are entitled to be used by God this morning. None of us ought to come in church or live our lives like, hey, I'm the preacher of Calvary, or hey, I'm the song leader. Hey, I teach a Sunday school class for 20 years. Listen, none of us deserve those things. It's only because God had a purpose and God had a plan for us, and God made sure that we wanted those things and we sought after Him. And Lord, is it your will that I be the pastor here? If so, it'll work out. Lord, is it the will that I continue to be the song leader here? And it has worked out and will work out. And for Sunday school teachers and all the rest, listen, God wants us to want to be used by Him. And what we see in this story here, that there was a 20-year time gap from when Isaac married Rebecca until now, and nothing happened. There was no sense of urgency about this seed. There was no indication here that there was prior times of beseeching the Lord, at least in Abraham's life. Abraham was concerned about his seed. And if you remember, Abraham had a maid named Hagar. And Abraham, at least, and listen, I'm not saying this was okay. This is forever not okay, because Ishmael came and there's division over there in the Middle East since that day. But at least Abraham wanted what God had for him, although he got ahead of God. And him and Sarai, at the time it was Sarai, she inquired and she asked for Hagar. And we know that a baby was conceived and Ishmael came. Ishmael is a picture of the flesh. And so many times in life, we try with the flesh to fulfill God's purposes. So many times in life, with the flesh, not even using the Spirit and inquiring of Him, we try to get in that thing and get in our positions and serve the Lord acceptably. But many times it's hollow, it's pointless, it's nothing within it, there's no content. We want God to use us at this church, that we're going to have to want to be used. We're going to have to step behind this pulpit, and when we direct choir like we do, but Sunday school classes and nursery workers and everybody that has a position in this church, listen, you are going to have to want to do it. If there ever comes a time where you lose your want to, it may be time to figure out something else to do for the Lord. There is nothing more aggravating, and there's nothing more damaging to a church than someone who serves because they feel entitled, but they do not feel called to do it anymore. Or maybe it's that they're doing what they're doing because they've always done it. If you ever lose that desire to teach that class, if you ever lose that desire to lead the choir, if I ever lose the desire to shepherd God's people and to preach His word, the best thing for me to do is go on down the street, because all I'm going to be is a problem and a hindrance to Calvary Baptist Church. Amen. 20 years into the marriage, we now see that Isaac is entreating the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him. That prayer was answered. You want to know why? That prayer was answered because God was waiting on Isaac to want it. God has called somebody to preach in this building. It's not just going to happen, friend. You've got to want to be a preacher. You've got to want to do your best. You have got to want to make sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted when you preach this book. If you're a Sunday school teacher, nursery, doesn't really matter. Any ministry in this church, anywhere, you have got to give it 110%. And if that want to is gone, it's best that you be gone. Because all it causes is chaos and it's attitudes and it's... And it spreads in the church. We have Isaac here. And Isaac intercedes for his wife. God answered it. God answered it. I believe Isaac felt entitled to the promise, but God wanted Isaac to want it. Now, Lily's in the nursery. Not nursery, children's church. There's things that Lily Grace will get just because she's my daughter, Christy's daughter. But I tell you, it is a nauseous feeling when I give it to her. She just walks away. Here, honey, this is for you. I was expecting that. This is for you, Lily. I worked hard for that. You know what? A lot of times in God's house and amongst God's people, it's the same thing. God gives us things and He wants to use it, but I deserve that. I deserve that. I'm entitled to that. They don't know how many years I put to that place. That's mine. I deserve that. They just don't know that I'm the number one person for that position. That's mine. I don't care. I'll do what I want to do with it because it's mine. I deserved it. Listen, the same way that if Lily was to have an attitude like that, our relationship is clouded. There is something going on now between my relationship and her because of her attitude toward the blessings of God. Yes, I had something for her, but I want her to say, Daddy, thank you. You didn't have to buy this for me, but Daddy, thank you. What can I do to make it up to you? Lord, Daddy, how can I repay you? Daddy, thank you. And so is in the ministry. We feel like this is for me and I'll do what I want to with it. But all the while it has a certain smell in the nostrils of God. And I wonder this morning how that smell is if we operate when we feel like we're entitled to things. Isaac's interceding. He interceded for his wife and he was entreated. He entreated for his wife and the Lord was entreated by him. That prayer was answered. I want to move on. There's a second thing when it comes to the unique plans of God. First of all, we see Isaac's interceding. And it had everything to do with Isaac wanting it. The unique plans of God. Number two, we see Rebekah's pleading in verse number 22. Isaac's interceding, but Rebekah's pleading, verse 22. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. Rebekah's pleading. I want you to notice word number one. The word struggled here. And the children struggled together within her. That word struggled means to cut into pieces. It means to hurt. It means pain. Now, Rebekah was only told and she heard as Isaac did that there is a promised seed coming. One. And so now that this prayer has been answered and there is conception within her, the seed is there. There is a struggle within her womb above a natural kind of pregnancy. The word struggle means to crack into pieces. It means to crush. Notice another phrase in verse 22. And the children struggled together within her. She had a crushing sensation. It was painful. It was harsh. She felt like she was cracked into pieces. And the children struggled together within her. Notice what she asked. And she said, if it be so. In other words, if I truly am experiencing conception of the promised seed, if it be so, why am I thus? If truly God, Isaac, has answered your prayer, and I have the promised seed on the inside of me, why am I thus? Why is it so painful? That's what she's asking. Isaac, if we are in God's perfect will and God's perfect purposes are being unfolded, if I truly have the promised seed within me, why do I feel like I'm crushed? Why the pain? Why the struggle? You see, when it comes to Rebecca and her pleading, she could not comprehend that when it comes to the Lord's purposes, and it comes to the Lord's pain, the Lord's purposes and promises to her, oftentimes disconnected with pain, oftentimes disconnected with struggle. Oftentimes when it comes to the service of the Lord, there is a crushing sensation. You're not always going to be liked this morning, church. I'm not always going to be liked. Whenever we step out on faith and we choose to follow the Lord, listen, there is a price to pay to follow Jesus. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. In the book of John, chapter number 6, in verse 66, many follow Jesus for the miracles. But guess what? Jesus started preaching. And the Bible says, at that time, many turned back and followed him no more. I want to say this morning that Rebecca had this crushing sensation. They were now desirous of this new position. They were now desirous of this purpose. 20 years, they didn't give it no thought. They felt entitled to it. But now they're praying, oh Lord, send the promise. Send the purpose. Guess what? The promise is here. The purpose is here. But it's coupled together with pain. Anybody tell you serving Jesus is easy is a fool. That's a Bible word. Anybody tell you that there is no need for a surrendered life, they're a fool. Serving the Lord is the most rewarding life, but at the same time, it's the most painful path. Now, we know the way of the transgressor is hard. We're not saying that. A bad day now as a Christian is far better than a good day being lost. Far better. But what I'm saying is, when hard times come for you, don't bail out on God. You experience a little bit of friction in your home or your ministry, don't leave the church. Don't divorce your spouse. Don't leave them. Listen, God is in the business of putting families together, putting ministries together, but he needs some people who want to have those things. Not only want to have them, but want them to succeed this morning. Don't you want your marriage to succeed? Don't you want your ministries to succeed? Guess what? Problem is around the corner. There's pain around the corner. But you see, oftentimes in Scripture, God's purposes are connected with pain. I think about Paul, book of Acts, chapter number 9, I'll give it to you. Verse number 16. The Lord tells Ananias this about Paul at his conversion. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. You know, Paul was a chosen vessel to be an apostle. And Paul was told here in third person by Ananias that he's going to suffer. Paul had the thorn in the flesh. Listen, I want to make this statement because it's true. Every rose, you probably finish it, has its thorns. You see a rose bush, and I was thinking about the bush, not the song. Every rose bush, beautiful, beautiful rose, has thorns on it. So it is in life. I need my generation to step up and be men and women. There needs to be some men in their 30s. I'm talking about some godly men in their 30s serving Jesus. What happened to my age group? Why aren't there anybody my age serving God? Why? We need some men to step up to the plate and first of all, make sure that they know Jesus as Savior. And if they do know Jesus as Savior, then move it on up and serve Jesus. There's a dying generation this morning that's not being replaced. All of our seniors and older people of this church, one by one, listen, we're all going to take that trip, but they, one by one, are going home. We need some folks in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s that want to serve God, that's willing to lay their anchor and bury it deep and go on with Jesus. Nobody's going to move me off my path kind of attitude. If God has called you, then you ought to want what He's called you to do and drive it in there deep. Put your stakes in the ground and serve God forever. This message is too big for me. There's so much here this morning. So many are quitting every time the wind blows. So many are, in fact, when it comes to marriage and it comes to serving the Lord, just over Thanksgiving, I was talking to, in fact, it was the family of mine, extended family members. I said it was a girl and a guy. They were in their mid-20s, and I said, how long have y'all been together? Oh, we've been together forever. I said, when did y'all get married? Oh, we're not going to get married because it seems just like in the world, when people get married, it always ends in divorce. So if we just stay, you know, shacking up together, receiving benefits from, you know, the government, then we'll just live happily that way. That is a shame, a crying shame. The biggest expression for love is commitment. And for someone to say, I'm not going to be committed in marriage, you are heading down the wrong path. So that's just the direction my generation is going in. Internet. Listen, I use internet. We use those things for help of staying in touch with people and for study purposes and schooling purposes. But the devil is using internet. The devil, and we have a Facebook account, but the only reason we have a personal one is because we needed to have a church one. And I was told it'd be a good idea to have a church Facebook page. If I was never told that, I probably wouldn't have one. See what kind of fix I get in sometimes? The devil's using the internet. We said Wednesday night that just this past week, my daughter goes to Grace Christian School. There was a mass email sent out to get on the church, the school page, and look at the column that they have based on the app TikTok. And I want to say I clicked on that column to read it. The first thing I did was I exited out of it because it gave a heading that wasn't suitable to even be read, but it was exposing what's really going on some of these apps. TikTok is an area where predators prey on young people. In fact, in that column it said there was a fully grown man that was totally exposed to a 10-year-old. And it was the lady's daughter who she was talking about. TikTok, Kick, any social media app, anything out there, we have to know what our children are doing. But listen, also, we have to be careful as adults. Senior citizens have to be careful as senior citizens. Nobody is exempt from temptation. And what I'm saying by all that, why am I even bringing that up, is because the devil is working overtime for my generation. Everybody is so socially connected. When you finally see them in person, nobody says anything. There is something lost in that. And let me say this, and I'm going to move on and we'll bring it to a close in just a moment. Do not search the internet. Do not allow Facebook to be your identity. If you post something and nobody likes it, that don't mean nobody don't like you. But the devil uses that for people to feel like nobody loves me. Nobody gave me a thumbs up. Nobody put a heart. Look at all the people that posted on their page, and that person responded, all these hearts. But I responded, I didn't even get a heart. That sounds silly. But guess what? Our young people are taking that and saying, because I didn't get a heart, I'm nobody. And it builds and it builds and it builds. And before the next thing you know, we have identity issues with our young people. And it is creeping into the 20s and 30-year-olds. We need some good, godly, Holy Ghost men and women of the younger generation that would step up and say, I want what God wants and I will pay the price for it. So we see this morning, Rebecca, she had a sensation. And she felt this struggle. She was in the perfect will of God, yet the struggle was there. The struggle was real. This morning I want to say that when it comes to the Lord's unique plans, many times it won't feel like you're on the mountaintop. Those times come and those times go. But God wants us to be steady. And God wants us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And Rebekah was wondering in verse 22 of Genesis 25. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? Lord, you said you will use us and bless us, but why the pain? Church, if you don't hear anything, hear this. Serve the Lord regardless, sunshine or the rain, pleasure or pain, we will serve him and lift up his name. I just wrote that, by the way, just now. I just said it. Acts 9 and verse number 17, we see that Paul was to suffer. And many times the Lord's purposes and plans are coupled with suffering. Our devotion will be tested. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, I'll just give it to you. Notice what Peter says in verse number 6. He says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. What did we say Wednesday night? We said that Moses was the leader, and as he had a hand raised with the rod of God, Israel succeeded, and Israel prevailed. But the moment his hand was lowered, that the enemy, the Amalekites, they prevailed. And so Moses shifted. He couldn't lift that hand anymore. So he held that rod of God up in that hand. And then Israel was winning. But then he got tired. He couldn't hold up any hands. He was heavy. God's purposes sometimes get heavy on us. Jesus in the garden experienced the great heaviness of sin. Thank God for Aaron and Hur who came along and said, you know what, I want to hold your hands up, Moses. I want to hold them up, and that way we can win. That way we can prevail. And so we see, though, our devotion is tested. Our faith is tested. And again, Peter, he goes on and says in verse number 7, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God is purifying our faith. God is testing our faith. He wants to see his reflection in our life. And so we see Rebecca's pleading. She was pleading. She was asking the Lord why. Let me mention something else. Back in Genesis 25, we see Isaac's entreating in verse 21. Rebekah's pleading in verse 22. But then in verse number 23, we see God's leading. In verse number 23, he says this. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. What is this? I believe the Lord is leading Rebecca in the details here. Number one, I believe when it comes to her pregnancy, he's saying this. Number one detail for her pregnancy, he's saying there's a bigger picture. Notice what he says, and the Lord said unto her, she was struggling, she was in pain, what's going on? I thought I was in God's will. And the Lord said unto her, two nations. That's a big outfit. And he's talking about the nation, he's talking about the Edomites and the Israelites. Two nations are going to come from your bowels. You are experiencing some cramps now. Oh. oh, so I feel broken. Something's not right. But the Lord says, there is something big happening in you. One day, two nations are going to come from your bowels. And the Lord is saying here that there's a bigger picture. Some of you got spiritual cramps this morning. Why this? Why that? Lord, I thought I was in the right place of worship. Lord, I thought I was at the right job. Oh, I thought I made the right decision. Always keep in mind, there's a bigger picture we don't see. Two nations in her bowels. She had cramps. She had pain. Esau and Jacob. But yet God was going to allow two nations to come forth. The bigger picture. What you're going through now is a spiritual stomach cramp of what God's going to do in the future. God is, listen, He wants to use us. He has purposes for us. But the game changer is us wanting it. The longer we prolong from wanting what God wants, the longer the cramps will be there. And so He says there's a bigger picture. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb. Rebecca, that's what's going on. All the pain, all the questions, all the considerations, all the wondering, all the praying, is because I'm doing something big. God wants to do something big in all of our lives. And He's such a wise God, powerful God, all-knowing God, that He uses every single thing that comes in. And there's cramps. But if we would just surrender to the providence of God, God, I'm your sheep. God, you're my shepherd. Lord, you know what's best for me. I've got cramps spiritually this morning that are beyond this world. I've never felt them before. Lord, I'm losing my mind. God, I need your help. But Lord, this morning I am trusting your unique plan that something big is going to come out of it. Two nations. Then lastly, he says this in our verse number 23. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Not only God's leading her in the details of her pregnancy, there's a bigger picture, but there's big differences on the inside. You see, we know that Jacob, in his early days, was conniving. He was surplanter. He had tricks. He actually tricked his father, and he put on hairy fur to symbolize his brother. He actually sold beef stew to his brother Esau for the birthright. In early years, Jacob was conniving. He was a trickster, but it was him who God chose to use that would extend the Messiahship one day. But we see that while they were in the womb, there was a chosen one and a not chosen one. There was two manner of people in the womb. One was hairy and one was not. One was conniving and the other wasn't. They both grew up and had different facial dispositions. They had different desires and different wants in their life. And the Lord is saying that part of your problem is what's going on the inside. Not only there's a bigger picture, two nations, but there's two types on the inside. I want to say to every born-again believer, we have two types on the inside. There's that good nature, there's the Holy Spirit, and there's that new nature that the Lord gives us at the new birth, and we want to believe God, we want to go on with God, we want to serve God acceptably. But there's that old nature. There's that trickster nature. There's that nature that don't want to believe God. There's that nature that wants to quit. There's that flesh nature that wants to blame. And there's that flesh nature that wants to just give in and give up. And so the Lord says there are two manners of people within you. God is saying that it's just warfare. I want to say this morning that along with serving God, sometimes it's just warfare. You can be doing everything right. There's warfare. You can slip and stumble and fall and fail miserably. There's warfare. There are two types on the inside of us. Everybody has a Jacob and Esau on the two types. Two types of those Those fellows, everybody has those on the inside. And this is God's leading. He's leaning into details. He's saying there is big differences on the inside of you. There is a conflict on the inside of you. In the book of Galatians, it talks about, and Paul was a writer, and he says, for us to walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He says that, you know, back in Romans, I quote this chapter at least often, back in Romans chapter number 7, toward the end of chapter number 7, and then chapter number 8 is the Spirit-filled life, but chapter number 7, Paul experiences the great struggle on the inside. He says, I want to do good, but there's evil present with me, and I fail. He said, sometimes it's just a stress and a struggle. I said all that to say this morning that God has a unique plan. His plan for Abraham and Sarah was for them to have their baby in their 90s. But the plan for Isaac and the plan for Rebekah had to do with bearing twins. Bearing twins. Isaac interceded because he got to a place where he wanted God's will. And then Rebekah, she pleaded because of the pain of God's will. But then the Lord, he was leading them in the details and said, all this is happening because there's a bigger picture and because there's some indifferences on the inside because of the two boys. I don't know what you may be feeling this morning, where you're at in life, but I do want to say this, that if Jesus is your Savior, He has a unique will for your life. And what you're experiencing, whether something you've allowed or didn't allow, if you know the Lord, He's your shepherd, He is up to something big. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, if you were to die right where you're at and say, I don't know where I would go, I want to urge you to come this morning. Let me meet you on the altar. Let some of these men, women meet you in the altar, whoever you are, and just lead you in God's plan of salvation. And as simple as ABC, you have to admit you're a sinner. It was your sin that separated you from Christ. We're all sinners, born that way. But then you got to believe that Jesus died for you and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. As simple as ABC. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you. Move in the invitation time. Let nobody skip out, but do business with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning if you need to come.